Staring out the window as a storm comes blowing fast across the fields. It made me think about you, how the thunder made you shiver, and the lightning always scared you, does it still? I guess that's a silly question, 'cause there are no storms in heaven. Well, at least as far as anyone can tell. Oh, sometimes I wonder, sometimes I wonder.
Good to see all of you out this morning. Go ahead and stand with me if you will. Today we're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 11 through down at verse number 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, as we come to you today, we're so thankful to be here. What a blessing it already is to be in your house. It's so great, the spirit that is here. Thank you for all those that have stood and shared in song and testimony, words. God, we're just so thankful to be here. We're thankful to be a part of this church, to be a part of our community. More importantly, we're thankful to be a part of the family of God. All of us today, under the sound of our voice, that are saved by that precious blood, we're brothers and sisters together. together. We're on the same team, God. And just in the message today, as we're going to look at and expound on these scriptures, may that be our ultimate goal, to strive together to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. May we think more of those around us than we think of ourselves. May we truly, God, have a passion to want to see people saved and want to see people drawn closer to you. God, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, the many times that I fail you over and over, especially in this regard. I can be very selfish. I can think a whole lot more about what I want than what you need for me to do. I can be caught up, God, in the things that I think are better for my life than what could be better for someone else's life. God, help us to understand as we look and again, expound on these scriptures, God, that we'll get a true sense of where we can be at times and actually where you want us to be. We want to glorify you. Have your way, Jesus. Speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit. Let each one of us, as we finish up this message today and finish up the service this morning, when we leave, to leave in a better place than when we came in. We pray all this in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I want to flip over to 1 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles there handy. It's not one of those that I added to the actual notes. By the way, I added notes today, so you're welcome. Amen. I remembered. Sometimes I forget. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. I want to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 11, because I think it's very pertinent to what we're talking about in growing up. Verse number 11 says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." I think we have issue, all of us do have issue as Christians, with trying to balance out whether we're really spiritually mature or not. It's hard to gauge. It's hard to determine at times. And so what I think is beautiful about this passage of Scripture is that he gives us some guidelines to help us understand if we are spiritually mature or if we're spiritually immature. He's letting us know how we are according to the things that we do. So that's what I want us to look at. But first, why do we want to be mature? What is the ultimate goal for us in a Christian walk? What is God's plan for us? What is the goal for us? And in verse number 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, he describes it beautifully. Now remember, before that he told us that he gives some, you know, pastors, teachers, he gave us all these spiritual gifts. I know many of you have perhaps taken a spiritual gift survey before. You've kind of seen what areas in your life that you feel like you've been gifted or blessed in so that you can minister more effectively in those areas. It's a great tool, and it's good for us to know that. And once we learn and understand what areas we're gifted in, we can begin to develop those and be more active, and that'll help us all the way around in ministry. So given all those gifts, he basically says, and those being diverse, he said, here's the ultimate goal, verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So that's job one, is he wants us to become knowledgeable and understanding about who God is and developing our relationship with him. And he goes on to say, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The word perfect here is there any possible way for us to become perfect on this earth? Go ahead and say no, because we can't. It's not a trick question. We can't. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. We're not going to be able to be perfect because we've already sinned, so we're imperfect. But what the word perfect here means, and he tells us to strive for perfection, the word perfect means complete. That's what he's talking about. I want you to be complete. So that's something that we can achieve when we understand what perfect in this sense is not saying to never have made a mistake or to never make a mistake in the future, but to be literally complete, to be whole in your relationship with Christ. So that's where he's telling us we need to be. That's the ultimate goal, is for us in growing up, is to be perfect or to be complete in Christ. One of the scariest things that a church can have are grown-up people who are spiritual babies. Amen. That's scary.
Yeah.
Because we get to the point to where we're mature enough, naturally, we have jobs. Hey, look, I'm able to put my socks on by myself without any help. I'm a big boy. And so when we get to that point to where we're to a certain age and we're considered an adult and we feel as though we're grown up, we're able to reason more, we're able to understand more, we're able to make decisions, we're able to drive cars, we're able to do a lot of things, we're able to hold down a job, we're able to structure our lives. When we get in this natural state of maturity, if we're not equally growing spiritually, there's a big problem that's going to happen, especially if we're involved in the church, especially if we're working within the church. If we're not spiritually mature, then we're assuming a lot of things, and that's going to be very harmful, not only for you and I as individuals when we're in that state, but it's going to be very harmful to the church. So we don't need to be a novice, right? The Bible talks about not being a novice. Especially if you're going to hold certain positions within church, not to be a novice. That a novice means to be someone that's young and not yet grown and developed in that field. So we need to grow, we need to develop, we need to understand things about God's Word in order for us to be able and be equipped to minister. Now, I'm not trying to say that somebody young has absolutely no right to do anything in the church. That is not what I'm saying. Because you know what? There can be a lot of young people who are very spiritually mature. What did Paul say about Timothy? He said, Timothy, don't let any man despise you because of your youth. Timothy, you're a great man of God, and don't let anybody say, because you're young, you have no usefulness, and you've not grown enough and developed enough to be effective in ministry. Never let anybody say that to you, Timothy, because I know where you're at spiritually. Can I say that your spiritual level has really absolutely nothing to do with your actual natural age?
Amen.
Really doesn't. There's a lot of young people way more spiritual than older people in life. And so the goal is to be perfect. The goal is to be complete. When we look through the Word of God, we see several instances. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of illustrations in that regard, but there's all kinds of people that were complete or that were perfect spiritually and where they need to be. And they're to all different, diverse ages. You've got Abraham, and he was a righteous man, and God called him out. You got Moses that God called out. You've got young Elizabeth that was called, Esther that was called out. Young Mary that had Jesus. There's no distinct connection with what our natural age is to determine our spiritual level and our spiritual age. So we've got to be careful on that. So what is it that causes us to not be spiritually grown up? What are some things? He gave us about three different things right here that I think are important that we all need to take heed to. In studying this message today, I know that we've got an amazing crowd here today. There's a lot of folks. I don't know how many is here, but there's a lot of folks here today. And, you know, we as a church have a goal. Well, we want to be perfect. We want to be complete. We want to be whole. But as a goal of the church, we want to honor God in everything that we do. So in order for us to be effective in ministry, in order for us to be effective for the kingdom of God, what does that mean that we need to do? We need to strive to be spiritually mature. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with somebody that just gets saved. They're considered a babe in Christ. There's nothing wrong with that. We all have to start somewhere. I got saved at 7 years old. I'm 58, about to be 59, and pretty soon. I should start to be growing up and being spiritually mature by now. Amen. How long have you been saved? You don't have to shout it out, but think about it. When did you get saved? Oh, I remember like yesterday, preacher. I was down there, you know, at that little church, 10, 12 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, whatever age you were. How long has that been since you've been saved? How much have you grown in your relationship with Christ? Well, I've grown a lot. I know a whole lot more than I used to know then. That's not what I'm asking you. I'm not asking you how much knowledge you have. I'm asking you, what is your relationship with Christ like now compared to where it was? Have you grown up? Are you growing up? Are we striving for that perfection? Do we see ourselves not to just have a head knowledge of the Word of God, but do we have a heart knowledge and an understanding and a compassion for those people around us? Those are things to help us understand if we're growing up or not. One of the biggest problems and causes for us not to grow up is immaturity. Verse number 14, I'm basically going to break it down into three different parts. The first part says that we henceforth be no more children. The word children here means two different things, immaturity and simple-mindedness. Okay? So he's saying we don't need to be children anymore. Yeah, there is a point when you first get saved that we're understanding this new relationship with Christ and we begin that journey together. But from that, we must build on it and we must grow in it. We got to learn stuff as we get bigger. Just as we naturally learn things. I'm watching my little grandbabies, and they are so hysterical to watch them at the three different stages of life. And one, you know, four, and the others are smaller. One just turned one, and one about 7 months, 8 months, somewhere in there. Six. I'm watching John David throw fingers up. He's giving me signals in the back. Can't keep up with my grandbabies. But they're all at different little levels, and you see how they learn things, you know. I remember with John David and Desi, we were talking with Dennis, said, oh, man, it's going to be great when he can just hold that little bobble head up. You know, instead of it just flopping around. Next, I just want him to set up, you know, these little stages. We got to go through these things. You have to go through those things spiritually too. I understand that. I'm not knocking somebody that is young in the Lord spiritually and growing in the Lord. But what I'm saying is, my goodness, when we've been saved 20, 30 years, there ought to be something different about us. Amen. Because what he's saying is, it's not for us to remain childish. I think about when Timothy and Paul told Timothy, he said, don't let no man despise you of your youth. I wonder what Timothy felt when he went around and preached the gospel. I wonder how he was received when he preached the gospel. Did people think because you're young that you don't have anything to tell us? I'm going to say there were obviously people within churches that he preached at when he walked down the street to evangelize that were more knowledgeable about the word, the law, and the commandments perhaps than Timothy was. But I'm going to say on a spiritual level, nobody could probably equal Timothy where he was. So immaturity is a sure sign when we've been saved a long time that we're not growing up and we're not striving for toward that perfection in our relationship with God. So I ask you today, are you immature spiritually? Are we growing? Well, I just can't read the Bible. It's hard to read. That's not really what I'm asking. Well, I know I need to pray more. That's not really what I'm asking. I'm asking, do you really have a relationship with Christ, and are you developing it? Are we concerned about other people? Are we concerned about ministry? Are we concerned about ourselves? The second one, which I think hits home more to me and you and maybe others in the second part of verse number 14, we are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Not that I'm going to be easily swayed by different doctrines coming by, but when we're in our young life, or when we're immature spiritually, we're going to find ourselves to be easily drawn into different exciting things that perhaps may not match up with God's word. In Acts chapter number 27 and verse number 18, this is when Paul is talking about his shipwreck. He says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." So what he's talking about here is being unstable, where we're literally flip-flopping on one point of view, another point of view. When Jesus was feeding the masses, thousands of people, 5,000 at one time, 4,000 at one time, I remember that Jesus spoke with them after he fed them, and he said, you know, talking about his death, talking about his burial, talking about his resurrection. You know, things are not going to get easier. Things are going to get harder. It's going to get difficult. So Jesus was kind of hammering the challenge that lie ahead for him. All these people that were here were thinking, man, we just got a part of a great meal from this guy. He opened up a drive-thru and we all got to sit down and eat a free meal. So we love what he's doing. So they're going to follow him around until he started talking about things that were hard to embrace, talking about things that were challenging to them, like, oh my goodness, I didn't know you started talking about death and commitment, and I didn't know you were talking about all this kind of stuff. I can't handle this. So the Bible said a lot of those people left him and didn't follow him anymore. That's when Jesus looked to Peter and the guys and said, are you guys going to follow me too, or are you going to walk away? And they said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So that shows the spiritual level of his apostles, his disciples, and the rest of the people that followed him. They wanted to jump on whatever bandwagon it was that was exciting at the time. Ooh, I just heard there's a church that's got a stage where the little pastor lifts up from underneath and they got fog machine. I want to go to that church. Praise the Lord. I want to go where that choir is set up in about 17 layers and they sound like angels singing. It shows immaturity if we're jumping on board with something rather than actually growing in the Lord. If we're jumping on different doctrines, listen, if we are not growing spiritually, we are susceptible to ungodly false doctrines if we're not growing in the Lord. So we're unstable if we're not maturing, if we're not growing, then we're unstable in our relationship with God. That means we're immature. If you've been saved 30 years, we should be at the threshold of breaking that unstableness. I mean, goodness gracious. Can I say it? And I'm talking to me when I'm saying it. There's no excuse for me to not be growing up spiritually. There is no excuse for me. If I'm not where I should be in my relationship with Christ, there is no excuse for you either. Well, so-and-so did. I don't care what anybody else did. It doesn't matter what anybody else did. Our spiritual growth and development is dependent on us individually and Jesus Christ and nobody else. I can't blame anybody else for me not being spiritually mature. I can't blame anybody else for me not being growing and striving toward that perfection. And if I'm not growing, then I am spiritually immature and I am very unstable. I can be an adult. I can be 58 years old and think I know a whole lot of things and be completely unstable spiritually and grab hold of whatever doctrine that comes along. How many times did the children of Israel at that 40-year journey as they wandered through the wilderness, how many times were they on board with God because God had blessed with water, clean water several times? He blessed them with manna. He blessed them with quail dropping down. You know, we call that chicken and biscuits, you know. They had chicken in the morning, biscuits in the evening, you know, manna and quail. So they had great food, you know, nothing wrong with that. But how many times were they blessed and were they right where they need to be with God? But then they turn around and you know what happens? Here's what happens. And this is what happens in churches is that we get idle. What happens when we get idle? Meh, 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 meh. We start murmuring a little bit. They murmured, and they didn't like what was going on. They didn't like what was happening. They didn't like what they were doing. They didn't like that God didn't send them, you know, some spicy chicken next time. I don't know. We're not satisfied when we sit idle. And so we begin to complain, and things not going the way we think they ought to go. And the next thing you know, we're a whole group of people in entire rebellion against God. And it all happened because we got idle and we're not growing spiritually. So then God brings punishment, judgment on them. Oh, everybody's on their face before God then. Oh, forgive us, God. We're so sorry. Then God forgives them and blesses them. And then the whole cycle starts again. Numerous times in those 40 years, that cycle went around and around and around. Completely unstable people. Completely spiritually immature people. And what's sad is a lot of our churches are filled with people that are just like this. I have no desire to grow. We feel as if we go to church Sunday morning, we can mark off a check on our list. We've done that. You know, if I've listened to a Christian song or I've read a devotional through the week, then I've done what I need to do, and me and God are okay. When we are so deceived into thinking that satisfies a relationship with God. How long would someone stay married if we spent as much time with our spouse as we did with the Lord, some of us? Ouch. I mean, we need to understand how important our relationship with Christ is, that He didn't just save us to give us a free ticket to heaven as much as He did give us eternal life and a promise that we're going to heaven one day, but it begins a relationship with Him that He wants, that He longs for, that He needs and He desires. Kind of like those people following Jesus. Oh, I'm just here for the free meal, and then I'll be checking out, and I'll be going my way. Oh, I'm just here for eternal security, then I'm going to live my life the way I want it to until I die. Then I'm just going to go to heaven, and it's all going to be good. Is that the kind of life you want? Is that what we're after today? Well, what's scary is it's going to bring harm to us. It's going to hurt us when we're saying, I don't care about really growing spiritually. I don't really care about reading God's Word. I don't care about really developing a prayer life. It causes us to become unstable, and we're sucked into all kinds of different things. The third one is this, the bottom part of verse number 14. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The sleight of men here. And this is very interesting what it's defined as. Rolling dice. He's literally saying that we become, if we're not growing spiritually, we become gullible to basically whatever is coming down the pike. It's a little bit different than talking about being unstable. Unstable means we're going to jump on whatever is hot because we want to be a part of the in crowd. But to be gullible here means that if we're spiritually immature and we're not growing, then we're going to believe and embrace ungodliness and false teachings and false leadings. We're going to be, well, what are we going to be? We're going to be setting ducks is what we're going to be. And he said, we've got to be careful of that. Yeah, there's a lot of problems that come with us not growing spiritually, and we need to understand that. Can I reiterate something that I've talked about before? Several times I've mentioned it. You can't depend on what you hear from me on Sunday morning to determine your relationship with Christ. That's not my job. That's not my calling. My calling is to preach the Word of God and to teach the Word of God. But I'm not your gauge as to where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. For us to just say that we've gone to church doesn't necessarily satisfy that spiritual longing that we all have. It's up to us as individuals to see if we're growing or not, to see if we're striving toward that perfection and toward that completeness. Because what happens when we're gullible is that we jump onto one thing and it causes a steady decline away from Jesus Christ. I'll guarantee you, David, when he had the affair with Bathsheba, when he sent Uriah with a death sentence in his hand and literally murdered him, I guarantee if you were to sit down and talk to David after all that happened, say, David, how in the world did you get to where you're at? He would look up and he'd say, honestly, I don't even have a clue how I got to where I'm at. I'm a man after God's own heart. How could I do such a thing? How could I stoop so low? A man that literally trusted God for everything David did. How can I do what I've done? How can I decline in such a way? It's because somehow David opened the door. He quit trusting God. He slowed down on his prayer life. He backed off on his relationship with Christ and started to become idle and look around and found Bathsheba beautiful bathing on the roof, which is not uncommon in that day. I don't think any of you all are bathing on your roofs anymore, but they had flat roofs and they were used for storage, for bathing, for laundry, for whatever it might be. You know, maybe they had a whole balcony up there. I don't know, but it was common for folks to do that. And may I say also that it was a time that, according to the Word of God, that David was supposed to be in war with his men. It said this is a time that kings are in battle with their men, and David stayed home. Well, David already messed up because he said, I'm just going to hang around. You guys don't need me, do you? Can you not handle that yourself this time? I'm just going to stay here. And so it started the decline. Listen, if we're not spiritually growing, then we are spiritually dying. We're doing one of the two. There's no plateau in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It does not exist. Don't be fooled into thinking that. Don't be gullible into thinking that we reach a point in our life. Well, I'm saved, and I'm at this stage in my life. I'm, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, whatever it is, and I'm content. I know what I think I need to know, and I'm doing kind of what I think I need to know, so I'm okay here. Then if we say that, we have immediately begun the decline, and spiritual death has begun that moment. We're either getting closer to Jesus Christ or we're getting farther away from Him. And so if we're not careful, we're going to be gullible and we're going to be sucked into some of these things that we know are ungodly. So, what do we do about it? I mean, we see the signs now that we can look at our own selves and say, gosh, I wonder how close am I unto the Lord? So what are some things we need to do? Verse number 15, it says it simply and it says it beautifully and perfectly, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's being under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, and speaking basically is that type of a lifestyle. Living a life of love is what He's saying. So that encompasses literally every aspect of life. Everything I say, everything I do, everything I listen to, everything I hear, everywhere I go, the people I associate with, the things I'm involved with, that it's determined if we're doing things in love, then we will be doing things that will enhance spiritual growth. Is our goal to get what we can get, or are we really concerned about people around us? Amen. Achan. You know, I think about the childish part, and I think about kids on a playground. You know, Harper, my oldest grandchild, is four, going to be five, and so we're working on sharing. Sharing's a hard thing to learn, isn't it? I don't know that I've learned it yet. Sharing's a hard thing. And so, you know, we've adopted this phrase, sharing is caring. You ever, sharing is caring, so... And one day she was with a little sister, Fallon, you know, and Fallon had a little toy. And so she went and just, you know, grabbed the toy out of her hand. Isn't it funny how we always want what somebody else has? And little kids, we understand that. But she went and took the toy out of her hand, and I said, Harper, now we're not supposed to do that. And she said, but Pops, sharing is caring. So we had to have another discussion about the difference in sharing and just taking from somebody. There's a difference. And so you think about it along those lines, and it's like, yeah, sharing is caring. Do we find ourselves seeing, and the reason I want to talk about that in getting back to Achan, is that Achan went into Jericho, and the word from God was this. Y'all are going in, you're going to conquer Jericho, it's going to fall, the walls are, boom, going to fall down. And then when you get in there, don't take anything, but go on to the next city. Because God said, I'm going to promise you plenty of spoil later on, but don't touch Jericho. Why? Because Jericho was representative of the first fruits of the land of Canaan. In other words, it was the first city to fall within the land of Canaan. So God said, that's mine. He tried to institute a few things there, didn't he? That God needs to be first. He needs to get first. His 10% needs to come off first before everything else goes out. It's that God is acknowledging, you need to respect me, you need to love me, you need to trust me. And if you give me what I am due, then I will bless you as you go. So he said, going into this city of Jericho, all the stuff is down. He's looking around, he's thinking, oh my goodness, look at all these shiny toys. You know, it's like a kid on the playground, you know. I want the best glove, I want the best ball, I want the best shoes, whatever it is, you know, we think that way spiritually even. Well, nobody's really going to know if I grab up some garments and some gold and some silver and hide it in my tent. No, nobody's ever going to know. God knows. And so when I think about that immaturity and I think, are we really concerned about other people? Are we really concerned about ministry? Or are we really just concerned about what we want? A lot of the things that I do in life, if I would pause before I speak and just think, is what I'm about to say or is what I'm about to do edifying the kingdom of God or is it edifying David? There's probably a lot of things I would change in my life. And we go on in verse number 16. If we're speaking in truth, that's a sure sign that we're on the right track. And he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Basically, he's saying, if we're striving as a church to grow spiritually, we are going to come together like glue. We're going to bond and be a part of the same thing. We're going to have the same goals in mind. We're going to be productive in the ministry. We're going to be effective for the kingdom of God. Everything's going to work the way it needs to work. So when there is division, then obviously people are not growing the way they need to be growing and they're not doing what they need to be doing. I want to read a verse of scripture, a handful of scriptures to you, because here is the definition of a New Testament church. All right, you ready? Listen to this and think, am I a part of this? Am I involved in this? Is this my heart? Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. And they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Is that what we're doing? Is that what you're doing? Is that what I'm doing? That should be our goal. We should strive to do this. We do this by speaking everything we speak and doing everything that we do in love and under the leadership of the Spirit of God. Because let me tell you something. If we are doing this, can I tell you there's absolutely nothing that can stand against that? You get a handful of united people together under the same goal in one accord, striving for the same goal. There is nothing on this earth that can stop it if we're where we need to be with God. I want you to think about the possibilities that God has for us if we unite ourselves together and become as one body, not striving with each other, but working together for the same common purpose and common goal. There is nothing that can stop us. David and his handful of men that were there at the cave of Adullam, nobody could stand against them. I don't care how big Saul's army was, they couldn't stand against it. Why? Because they were united and they were under the banner of God. That's why. Gideon's 300, it didn't matter how many hundreds of thousands that they faced that day. The number was irrelevant. Why? Because the heart of Gideon and his men were united and committed to God. That's going to be the difference. Do we want our church to be successful? Then it's not just dependent on me and not just dependent on one or two individuals. The success of any church is dependent upon the collective body's relationship with Jesus Christ. Stand with me as I ask you this question before we begin to pray and open our invitation. And be honest with yourself. Are you growing up spiritually? I hope and pray that you are, but if you're not, this is a great day to do it. Some of you may be here this morning and maybe you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior yet and you don't even know what I'm talking about. What's this growing up business? You know, I'm a big boy. Maybe today the Spirit of God's convicting you and you need to be saved today. Maybe today and right now the Holy Spirit's letting you know that you're lost and you're undone without Jesus Christ. This growing must have a beginning, and it begins when we develop that relationship with Jesus. When we ask Him in our heart to forgive us and be our Lord and our Savior. If you need to come, you come. When we begin to sing, whatever is on your heart, if you've neglected God and you see those signs of hindered growth in your life, let's get up here and get that settled today. Let's pray. Fathers, we